Welcome to this week's edition of It's Good, featuring your host, Gary Smith.
Welcome to the program. Thanks for joining another edition of It's Good with Gary, this week, Super Bowl edition. But before we get to our analysis and predictions of the Super Bowl, there's plenty of other topics to get to. Stuff going on in the NBA, college football and basketball, the NHL, UFC fights coming up this weekend. But the biggest story coming off last week was the mutual parting of ways between Jeff Fisher and the Tennessee Titans. It's Good with Gary's sports blog broke the story before even ESPN that Jeff Fisher and the Titans were going their separate ways. It's something that we talked about a few podcasts ago. Made some predictions of who would be unlikely to return. Jeff Fisher was one of them. Now that he's out, you know, a month ago it seemed like it was going to be either Vince Young or Jeff Fisher who was going to be out in Tennessee. The Titans made their decision. They said, Vince Young, we're going to either trade you or release you, which interestingly enough, once a new collective bargaining agreement is in place, they will have 10 days to trade him or he'll be due about $4.5 million, which leads me to believe that he will be released by that point. However, they made their peace, but nonetheless, Jeff Fisher is exiting stage left as well. Now the question becomes, what's he going to do? Well, all the jobs are taking in the NFL right now. Wouldn't be shocked to see him move to TV, but I don't think it'll be long before you see Jeff Fisher back coaching once again. So where's he going to end up? Typically, I wouldn't want to make a prediction this early, but if you look ahead at the teams that might be looking for head coaches next year, teams where if they have a down year, you can expect that their coach would be out. I would call those places like San Diego, the New York Giants, the Houston Texans. Ironically enough, Jeff Fisher got his start with the Houston Oilers, and then they moved to the Tennessee to become the Titans. I would not be shocked to see Jeff Fisher become the head coach in Houston once again, taking over the Texans if Gary Kubiak is indeed done next year. I mean, they've got a lot of good pieces in place. A young team with a lot of promise. I think he could lead that team to the Super Bowl in his first couple of years if all the pieces fall into place. That leads us to the poll questions for today, or for this week, really. We got a couple of poll questions up on It's Good with Gary already. If you go to the website, www.itsgoodwithgary.blogspot.com, give us your vote on who you think is going to win the Super Bowl this weekend. Is it going to be Green Bay or will it be the Steelers? Neither team has cheerleaders, ironically enough. But they both have their own mascot of sorts. Steelers fans wave their terrible towels. The yellow looks like dish towel that says terrible towel on it. And the Packers fans rocking out with their triangle foam cheese heads. We want your opinion on which is the better mascot or team memorabilia, if you will. But the real poll questions that we want to get to this week have to do with the coaching carousel, if you will. There's great coaches who aren't coaching in the NFL. Bill Cowher, John Gruden, Tony Dungy, all are working in TV. All three have Super Bowl rings. Jeff Fisher's out. He's got the personality for TV. Wouldn't be shocked to see him there next year. Of those four coaches, the question is, if you were in charge of choosing your team's next coach next year, your coach is out for whatever reason. He decides to leave. You decide to fire him. He's gone. And you get the pick out of these four coaches, Bill Cowher, John Gruden, Tony Dungy, Jeff Fisher. Who would you choose to be your team's next head coach? Similarly, another question that we have up there is, which coach do you think will be the first back as a head coach? Go to the website, weigh in, give us your thoughts, leave some comments. We have a couple new stories up, actually. The co-founder, Doug Shockey, and an author on the blog, has given us his year in review from 2010, what he did, all the places he went to, including the World Cup. He had a grand slam of the major American sporting events with football, baseball, hockey, NBA. His thoughts and experiences, including a trip to Talladega and many others. We also have UFC 126 predictions up. Our MMA expert, Albert Espinoza, has given us his thoughts on why this might be the greatest card in the entire UFC history. Check it out. You can see who he's picked to win and how they're going to win. Weigh in, leave a comment, let them know what you think. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the NBA right now. A lot of sports are getting ready for their All-Star games. The Pro Bowl the other night, hockey, we'll get to that in a few minutes. But I want to talk about the NBA All-Star game. You look at the lineups, the starting lineups, which were just recently announced, and you think, wow, you got a great matchup on your hands. You got LeBron starting, Dwight Howard on the same team, Dwayne Wade. You got Kobe and Kevin Durant on the other team. And the center matching up against Dwight Howard is none other than Yao Ming. Have you looked at Yao Ming's numbers this season? He's averaging 10.2 points a game, which I guess isn't that bad, except that he's only played in five games. Five games. Somebody's playing a cruel joke on the NBA here. How is it that somebody can be voted to the All-Star game starting who only played in five games? Now, if he only played in five games and all five of his games were 50-point games, I could understand that. But he's averaging 10 points a game. And he's only played in five of them. My guess is he got everybody in China behind him to go vote for who they wanted to go vote for him to start, all billion of them. And that's how he was able to land a starting spot for the Western Conference. Now, obviously, he won't be able to play because he's out for the season due to injury. So the commissioner will pick his replacement. But I see a little flaw in the process there, and it's kind of disappointing. Another note, you know, in the NBA and the NHL, they have their skills competitions. Like the NHL does their shooting and whatnot. The NBA does their three-point and dunk competition. Baseball has their home run derby. I think the NFL should do something. First of all, I think wouldn't it be fun to see some of these guys just, like, line up and just do a run and see who really is the fastest, and line up the quarterbacks and see who can throw the farthest, or see who can hit whatever target. I think it's time they incorporate some of that into the Pro Bowl. Speaking of which, the NFC beat the AFC. They jumped out to a 42-0 lead. If you're ever betting on an All-Star game, it's probably safe to take the over 100 times out of 100. Just saying. You can't always tell who's going to win, but there's always going to be a lot of points scored, and always more than you expected. So the NHL All-Star game was 11-10, and they had this fantasy draft. Now, it's a little atypical. It's not your East-West, or in the past, the NHL has done the North American players versus the world. They took two players, split them up, said, here's the rest of the All-Stars from across the league. Pick your team. It's just like backyard ball once again. I kind of like it. That was a neat concept. I thought it was a fun idea. You end up playing with guys you might not normally play against, guys from other conferences or other teams that you're used to going up against. We'll see if it sticks around. As far as I'm concerned, the NHL, do it again. Whoever the top two vote-getters are, make them captains. Flip for the first pick. Play it out that way. That's just my thoughts. We'd be happy to hear your thoughts. The Senior Bowl was this past weekend down in Mobile, Alabama. Try to throw in a little Alabama accent there for you, too. You'll have to check on the sports blog to find out information about that. Also, we'll try and get some inside look at what's going on in Iowa with the players who were hospitalized after brutally intense workouts. See if we can't get in touch with somebody there. We'll have a story there this week. Next week on the podcast, and you can expect some analysis on the blog as well, Iska with Gary is getting an exclusive interview. An exclusive interview with one school's person who raises money. So, at UConn, one of the people who donate their money decided that he didn't like the way that the athletic department went in hiring this coach or that coach and what they did, and he wants their money back. We're going to ask another school, one of their people who helps raise the money and manage the money for these types of decisions, their thoughts on the situation, what they would do in that circumstance. You definitely don't want to miss next week. It's an It's Good with Gary GSPN exclusive interview. It's gonna be real interesting, real special. Had the opportunity to go to a college basketball game, and I got to be honest, I'm not a big college basketball fan. Florida was playing Mississippi State. I'm 30 miles away. Get in the car, head over there. Place is packed, but I end up getting free tickets. The top row, right at midcourt. Actually, good seats. You could see what was going on. I got to tell you, and I'm sure it's like this with most schools, but the environment was absolutely incredible. It was awesome. Granted, I was pulling for the away team. I've got a soft spot in my heart for Florida. But hearing the fans, the ups and downs of the game, it was a blast. It was a blast. There are a few things that came to mind while I was at the game. The game was televised, and there were tons and tons and tons of TV timeouts. That was just a little bit frustrating. I felt like the game could have been over with in an hour and a half, and instead it took 2.5 to 3 hours because of all the TV timeouts. There was never any need to use a timeout, because as soon as somebody got some momentum and you would think about calling a timeout to stop the momentum, there was a TV timeout anyway. I know there's been a lot of big talk about Jimmer Fredette at BYU. I think he's a good ball player. I think he can play in the NBA a little bit. I don't see him being a big impact player, but we can talk about Jimmer Fredette a little bit later in March as the tournament grows near. San Diego State and BYU had their matchup. BYU knocked off unbeaten San Diego State, then promptly turned around and lost to New Mexico. But New Mexico's a good team. A lot of good basketball in the Mountain West Conference. A very overlooked basketball in the Mountain West Conference, just because they're out west. There's kind of this west bias that's not their forte. And we'll pose these questions again later. Like I said, when March Madness rolls around, we'll hit on these things. But I think the game would be more exciting, the college basketball game, if they had a 24-second shot clock like the NBA. There'd be more scoring. You'd move up and down the court a little faster. I think the full court press that you see run in college gets a little bit sloppy. I'm not a big fan of it, but you make them move the ball, you make them take shots, and I think the other thing is there should be four quarters like the NBA. So basically I'm proposing that college basketball go to the NBA format. Four quarters, I don't care if it's 10 minutes or 12 minutes. I just think it adds excitement to the game, some familiarity, some carryover, a little different strategy to it, if you will, based on the different fouls and situations. Just some of my thoughts. Like I said, those things we can talk about at a later time. But those were some of my impressions. I thought the Mississippi State fans, though, this weekend were fun to be around. They were polite. They were happy for their team. They cheered good. Tough atmosphere for Florida to play in, and ended up that Florida lost. They were the last SEC team to lose on the road this year. But without any further ado, let's go ahead and we'll turn to Super Bowl week and what everybody's been waiting for. Super Bowl predictions and analysis. Now, last week, we talked about the Bears situation, and I won't harp on it too much. But the Jay Cutler thing is about ridiculous, and I can't say that I blame a lot of fans. This guy, there's a John Grudenism for you right there. This guy, Jay Cutler, can't play because of his knee, and then is seen out in public at night walking upstairs with a group of friends and his girlfriend to go to dinner. Now, if my knee was hurt that, like I said before, if I have the chance to play, I'm playing. You're going to have to carry me off the field, just because I think it would be that cool of an opportunity. But if you're that hurt that you can't play, you probably shouldn't be able to walk up the steps. And then to turn around the next day and to be seen at these different outside malls just walking around, shuffling along, not even shuffling, but like hurrying away from reporters and whatnot when they come to you. It's just kind of surprising to me. I feel like you're not out of place to question this guy's toughness, because if he couldn't play in the game, he shouldn't have been able to do those activities, but he was. My knees hurt that bad, I'm probably not going to be out in public shopping with my wife, or in his case, the girlfriend. Yeah, do all the shopping you want. I'll stay here. Or let's shop online. I'll shop with you that way. Just my opinion. The Eagles are franchise tagging Michael Vick. What that means is they're going to put they're going to make him theirs next year. He wasn't under contract. They're going to pay him the average of like the top, I want to say it's like 5 or 10 players at his position. However, that leads to some questions about what's going to happen with Kevin Cobb. And interestingly enough, with no CBA in place, you can't really make any trades. People would expect that you could trade Kevin Cobb to a team like the Arizona Cardinals, who are in need of a quarterback. The Minnesota Vikings, who are in need of a quarterback. Several other places that they desperately need a quarterback in order to be competitive, that's the only missing piece. And Cobb has shown that brightness, that ability. You would probably give up a second round pick for him, a third round pick for him. But they can't trade him. All they can do is trade him for another player, potentially after the draft or even into next season, if a CBA gets worked out. We'll see what happens. I think that's a good move by the Eagles to franchise tag Michael Vick. I think that he showed that he can make an impact in that offense and that he can lead that team to victory. We'll see how it all plays out. Now, we'll get to the Super Bowl. Here you go. My biggest question going into the Super Bowl has nothing to do with the game. My biggest question is, everybody talks about the Dallas Cowboys. They're America's team. I'll tell you what, there's not very many things that are more annoying, in my opinion, than Dallas Cowboys fans, because everybody that doesn't know any better just says they like the Cowboys. When I was younger, I liked the Cowboys because people in my family liked the Cowboys. But are they really America's team? There's some speculation, but my question, there are Steelers fans everywhere. Everywhere you go, you see Steelers fans. Now, some people argue that that's because as soon as Steelers fans are old enough, they promptly leave Pittsburgh. But are the Steelers as well-based as the Cowboys? I would say probably not, because more Steelers fans have really come out of the woodwork since they've won the last they won two Super Bowls in the last, what is it, four or five years. That leads me to believe that maybe not. But what about the Green Bay Packers? Are they America's team? Or the Chicago Bears? Or take your pick of whatever other team. I think the Packers are as well-traveled, as well-liked. All over the place, you know somebody who's a Packers fan. You know a ton of people who are Packers fans. You probably know as many Packers fans as you know Cowboys fans. They're all over the place. I wouldn't be shocked to see the Packers show up with as good, if not maybe the best crowd in Super Bowl history. Because like the Cowboys, they have fans everywhere. And so it doesn't matter where they play, that's basically a home game for them, because their fans will show up and they'll show up in force. Maybe that will be a deciding factor in the Super Bowl this week. Now, there's so much stuff going on, it's a good thing we didn't have the Super Bowl this past weekend. Kind of needed a break to catch up from all the going on with the college football stuff, the Jeff Fisher story. I look at the Steelers and the Packers, and I see very evenly matched teams. The Steelers have a great defense. They're experienced all around, because they've been to the Super Bowl a couple times in the past few years. Great defense, top 10 defense, but so do the Packers. Now, only two players from the Packers have been to the Super Bowl, both of which have lost. But their defense has done an incredible job containing teams that are arguably tougher than those that the Steelers have faced in the playoffs. You look at the other side of the ball. The Steelers have struggled with injuries on the offensive line. they had the Big Ben situation at the beginning of the year. Look at the Packers; they've had injuries themselves. In the running game, James Starks out of Buffalo, he's shown that he can be a force. So the question is, will he, especially against such a tough defense? Injuries to JerMichael Finley and others have taken a toll on the Packers team. It's not like the Bears, who had a bunch of injuries early in the season, and by the end of the season, when they were still on the hunt and got everybody back, they could make a push. The Packers have lost 16 or 17 guys for the season. They're not coming back. Which brings up the story of the Packers team photo, big uproar over whether or not they were going to wait for the injured players to get to the Super Bowl to take a picture. Long story short, they are, which is good. I think the people, if you played this year with them, if you made an impact, you deserve to be in the picture, even if you were on the practice team. I think Big Ben has the ability to lead and carry this team to victory again. I think they have a little bit of an edge because they have the experience. But if you look at how huge Aaron Rodgers has played, if you look at his ability to make plays, his receivers are second to none with Greg Jennings, Donald Driver. Those two guys are overlooked when people talk about the best receivers in the game. I would probably be hard-pressed to not take Greg Jennings over a lot of other people. Ben Roethlisberger has great receivers too. Hines Ward, Mike Wallace, Antonio Brown with a huge catch a couple weeks ago against the Jets. This game is tough, tough, tough to pick. My head says take the Steelers. They're used to the big spotlight. My heart says take the Packers. Tell me the Packers aren't destined to be the Super Bowl champions. They beat the Bears to get into the playoffs in Week 17, which is just another reason why, look, if you have a chance to knock somebody out of the playoffs, you do it. Because you never know when it's going to come back to bite you in the butt. They went to Philadelphia and beat arguably the most talented NFC team in the postseason. They went to Atlanta and beat the best team in the NFC, record-wise. They went to Chicago in January in the snow and beat them in Soldier Field. They tried to keep Chicago in the game. Chicago struggled. It was actually a closer game than it should have been based on how they played. But they went through a tough, tough, tough stretch. Not to mention another year where Brett Favre comes back, goes to another division rival with the Vikings again, can't finish out the year. They beat him in Armageddon 3-4 in the matchups again. And Brett Favre is apparently retiring for good now. Would it be a little bit of poetic justice for the Packers to win the Super Bowl the year that Favre retires with a different team in the division? I think these teams are so evenly matched, I'm going to make a bold, bold statement, bold prediction. The Packers and the Steelers are going to be the first Super Bowl game to go to overtime. Not only that, it's the first overtime game with the new rules. I think the new rules will play a factor. As of right now, I will take the Green Bay Packers 31-24 over the Steelers in overtime to win Super Bowl 45. Right now. I'm sure I'll flip-flop on that about 100 times over the next few days until the Super Bowl happens. Like I said, these teams are about as evenly matched as you can get. The experience edge gives it to the Steelers. The intangibles, all the things they've had to overcome that the Packers have done, it just seems like it was meant to be for them. We'll see as it gets a little closer, a little further along. You'll have to hit the blog, and the next day or two, an article will be out with several of the people who contribute to It's Good with Gary will be making their prediction. They're going to give you a score, who's going to win and why. It should be exciting to read. Check it out in the next couple days. The podcast will be up. The article will be out Tuesday. Other stories that are coming up on It's Good with Gary, we're going to look at why a lockout is the worst thing that can happen for the NFL. We're going to look at what to expect on The Ultimate Fighter 13 with Brock Lesnar and Junior Dos Santos coaching. We're going to recap UFC 126. Of course, we'll recap the Super Bowl as well. We're going to look at what happens when fighters change camps. Does it help them out that they vary their exposure to different styles and techniques and personnel? Or is it harmful to them because they don't have any consistency? We'll recap some stuff from the NFL. We'll start peeking ahead into what's going to happen next year. And don't get too excited. But spring training is just around the corner. Pitchers and catchers report in 2 weeks. That's going to do it for this edition of It's Good with Gary. Thank you for joining us. And here's a little shout out. Thank you, Big Nate, for tuning in and listening back in Eustis, Florida. Appreciate you giving us a listen. And everybody else who's listened thus far, thank you very much. Be sure to go to www.itsgoodwithgary.blogspot.com. Podcast is available on iTunes. Search It's Good with Gary's podcast or at www.itsgoodwithgary.podomatic.com. There's a Facebook fan page. Search It's Good with Gary. One word. And be sure and follow us on Twitter at It's Good with Gary. One word as well. That's it. Check back for more updates middle of the week, end of the week. We'll probably have something else for you Super Bowl related. Thanks for joining us.